There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night folds in on a rising tide. Look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. Lyric the Freedom Screamer. I want to thank John Lamb for joining us during the last hour. Excellent updates. I guess today was a slow day. We'll see what happens tomorrow. On the one day that the court is allowing for defense witnesses. Did you get that, people? One day for the defense. 7 weeks for the prosecution. 100 agents for the prosecution testifying against the patriots, the people. You're lucky if it was a half a dozen. I'm pretty sure, according to John's previous update, we're lucky if we had three or four witnesses for the defense. She shut them all down. The defense, the prosecution shut them down. The witch's court, the judge shut them down. Not a judge. If you take off the robe, come down here at a ground level, stop with all this fictitious entity garbage destroying the lives of living men and women. Not one person was injured in that Nevada incident. They're trying to paint a picture that anybody who's patriotic is somehow, you know, bad people. So succumb to the world communism, accept the new world order. Come on, just get in line, you military conscripts. You're all bonded. We'll get you into court as many times as we possibly can. We'll make a couple $1 million every time we can get you into the court, selling performance and payment bonds as mortgage-backed securities into mutual fund investments on the world market. And I want to read this again to people, this one, because this was the scariest one of all of it. All you military guys will be interested in this. I think I read this last night. It bears repeating. This is from suretybonds.org. Questions about DOD performance bonds. That was DOD, Department of Defense. Yeah, that DOD. Not dogs on dope or anything like that. DOD as in Department of Defense for the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and every three-letter agency that's militarized. Questions about DOD performance bonds. Eligible for standard market rates from 1% to 3% of the bond amount. They're selling the Department of Defense stock, basically stock in the Department of Defense, to anybody in the world who wants to buy it. Who do you think bought most of that? Want to take a guess who owns our Department of Defense? Any guesses? I mean, I don't think we even have to say it. You know, the banking establishment, most of it overseas, out of London and Rome. They own the Department of Defense. DOD performance bonds, eligible for standard market rates from 1% to 3%. So your corporate government, this is why if anybody tells you we need to run the government like a business, They're a piece of walking garbage and a liar working for Satan. They know full well they're destroying our free republic, and they're setting up a business in our government and then saying, well, too late, you got to deal with it. We'll just come back slowly, and they'll take a few hundred years, and by then we'll have a new world order in place. So the entire economy, including our Department of Defense, trillions of dollars a year in funding, almost 1,000 bases worldwide, probably more than that by now. They're selling bonds in our Department of Defense. Why don't we stop doing that? That would be real, well, change for the better. So a real restoration, turn the clock back, stop the corruption, reverse, repeal. How about we make it illegal to bond any court case? Because it creates a conflict of interest between the greedy witch playing judge, pretending to be a judge, dressing up like a witch, a conflict of interest between them and whoever they're persecuting. A judge is like a wolf. He's a female wolf. He's sitting up there drooling, rabid drool all over her witch's robe, and looking at all these hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to be made off destroying these people who never hurt anybody. Not one accusation of any violence or any injury to either person or property. Those are their words, to either any of the people or any of their personal property. Better way to put it. So, Mike, did we have any callers? I just didn't want to forget anybody before I go, you know, if we have any callers, we can get to them. Harley in Indiana, can you come on now, Harley? Appreciate you being patient.
Sure,
go ahead, Harley.
Well, just a question off of what you're talking about, you know. If they're selling bonds for the Department of Defense, what do we need to give them another $54 billion for?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, first place, I think we should cut their funding personally for what they do. And, or as Ron Paul always said when he campaigned for president, though I don't think he was serious, why don't we close all the bases overseas and bring them home? And then we can definitely cut the military spending. And we can defend our borders truly. But anyway,
very
the reason
important.
I called you was I wanted to read you a portion of the state of Indiana Constitution because I thought you'd find it interesting, and perhaps you have heard it or know it exists. But I thought I'd read you from Article 1, Section 19, from the Constitution of 1851, and in that area. Somebody can find a copy of the Constitution of Indiana, the original from 1816. It's a brilliant document. And everybody should find it and read it who's a citizen of Indiana. Then they need to read the one from 1851. It's a world of difference. And anyway, I'll read you Section 19 from the Article 1, which is the Bill of Rights, and it covers 37 sections. But Article 19, I know you'd be interested in. It states, in all criminal cases whatever, the jury shall have the right
have
to determine the law and the facts.
Do we not have Harley or do we not have me? Harley, you cut out. Are we there, Mike? Just had a little audio
drop. Do you have
out,
me now?
Harley?
Yeah, I'm here. I hear an echo.
Let's do this. Mike, am I on the air?
Harley's loud and clear on the air.
Hello, Mike. Hello, world.
Well, I don't know if you can hear me, but the first time I called twice. The first time I called, it rang half a dozen times, and then I got a message that said, there's nobody here to answer the phone type thing. There's nobody available. Okay. Yeah, maybe somebody had to run or something. I understand that. I didn't know whether that was normal or... Okay. No, well, that's right. I mean, I understand that. I just didn't know it was a problem or not.
Not
yes,
a problem.
No, is this gentleman here?
Yeah, I lost you for a minute there, but So repeat, back up, because I didn't hear it, and in case the listeners didn't hear it, back up to just before you were going to start reading that Constitution. Can you back up and do that one more time? I'm not sure if it went out. I did not hear it, so
I sure
if everybody will indulge me.
Did you hear me mention the 1816 Constitution, the original?
And you said I think you were going to read something out of it, and then you kind of cut out. So do you want to do that one more time
so I
can hear it?
The original Constitution from 1816 was a brilliant document that all citizens of Indiana should find it and read it. They can find it online at the Indiana Gov type thing.
Okay, good.
But anyway, Section 19 from the 1851 Constitution states, Section 19, Article 1, Bill of Rights. Section 19, in all criminal cases, whatever, the jury shall have the power or the right to determine the law and the facts.
There you go. Sounds like jury nullification to me.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I always thought it was. I've had this copy of the state.
Where did you get that from?
Published in 1976 by the Indiana State Chamber of Commerce. I've been involved in all this stuff all my life. And I was involved in the American Party back when this was published. And we got it, this was given a copy to all the members of the American Party that went every month to the state meeting down in Indianapolis trying to elect people as, you know, trying to create another political party, and it was a Christian party. And we actually obtained permanent status on the ballot of the state of Indiana by receiving 3% of the vote for Secretary of State for Eleanor Lawrence. And that year, they assassinated the Indiana State Chairman. They murdered him. And a lady died suspiciously in an airplane crash, who was a very powerful lady in the party. And then a doctor in the South Bend area, you know, committed suicide by slitting his wrist, in his office. And everybody knows he didn't. He was a heavily man who was fighting abortion very strongly back then. And then the fourth individual, they prosecuted and threw in jail.
Wow.
So this was back in, the middle 70s.
Did you say it was Did you say it was Section 19?
Section 19 of 18, right, Section 19.
Very good.
And that's Article 1, Section 19 of the Indiana State Constitution from 1851. And this one is in Here Is Your Indiana Government, published by the Indiana State Chamber of Commerce.
Yep.
And it was published in 1975. And it is 17th edition, it says.
What was the name of the book again?
This is published by, its name is Here Is Your Indiana Government. 17th edition, August 1975. It's published by the Indiana State Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I still wasn't clear on the title. The first couple of words you said were what? The what government?
Here is your government, your Indiana government.
Oh, here.
Here, yeah.
H
as in Harley, E as in here. You know, R as in right. But I mean, this sets up. Yes, as in Edward.
Yep. Here is your government, is what it's called.
Pardon?
It's called
Indiana Government.
Here's Indiana Government. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, your. Y-O-U-R.
Here's your. That's what I thought. Okay, here's your Indiana. Got it. Indiana Government. So one more time, people, that's Section 19 of the Indiana State Constitution. And the title of the book is Here's Your Indiana Government, published in...
This one is 1975. It says it's the 17th edition in 1975. August of 75. But this Constitution is, establishes the system we have today. All your town governments, your county government, I mean, this whole stuff. But if you read the original Constitution from 1816, it's like maybe 4 or 5 pages, very short, very sweet, and it's a brilliant document. I mean, it's just brilliant. I looked for it for years, and I finally found it 2, 3, 4 years ago when I finally went online, got a computer, went online, and found it somehow through like Indiana.gov.
Yep.
But I looked for it for years, couldn't find it. I even found a 3-volume set, like almost 10,000 pages on the Indiana government. I don't remember what year it was published, but it was an old book. And it showed everybody who's ever been elected to office in the state of Indiana up to the publication date, about the counties and the townships, I mean, all of it. And it was not even in that book.
Very interesting, very interesting.
I think everybody should read the original one. And you know what gets me on this one is it come about in the time when, you know, right before the Civil War, when they were starting to incorporate all the governments, all the states,
yep,
and things, you know?
That was the beginning of the end, just right there about the, you know, when the incorporation started.
And Indiana had a socialist community, you know, back in the 1830s called New Harmony, Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And New Harmony was a complete failure. Because
sure.
It was based,
it always is,
similar to, like, I believe it was Plymouth Rock, where everybody worked for everybody. You know, I mean, it was a socialist government. Everybody went in, they all raised the crops, and, you know, it was just a total collapse and a failure. And, of course, they just had the 200th anniversary of Indiana, and they talked about New Harmony. It was such a fantastic place and such a success. And the truth was, it was a complete failure.
Well, sure. That one thing, one characteristic of well, anybody who has a political agenda, I don't care if you're on the left or the right, they're liars. I mean, the lying is what keeps the people in the dark and keeps their scam going. You're exactly right.
Oh, absolutely.
Plymouth Rock Settlement, where the first pilgrims came over, was, I've read that before, highly communistic. Bruce Reed with the writings of William Bradford, the governor, and he said
that's
it
right.
Didn't
it was
work
extremely
out.
Yes, it was socialistic, and it was a failure. Yep. So they gave everybody property and let them raise food for themselves.
Yep. It's communism. Socialism is just communism.
Right.
A socialist is nothing more than a weak communist. It's basically the same thing.
If you take the time, because you can go on to the Un-American Activities. There's a government document published in 1931. And it's a tremendous document. Everybody should get a hold of it if they can find it. I can't remember the name of it. I could maybe find it here if I take the time to look for it. But it goes into communism. And it refers to socialism as the half-brother of communism. They're half-brothers. And it talks about the Illuminati and, all of it. It's a tremendous document. Matter of fact, it talks about equal rights for equal obligations. It talks about the women creating equal rights for equal obligations. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the Equal Rights Amendment. They tried to pass it in the 1970s. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, sure. Yep, I remember.
Well, we defeated it. Indiana was one of the states that was responsible for beating it, and the Indiana American Party was a strong influence on it. Beating it. And as far as it goes, I wrote a resolution against it that was passed by the state of Indiana American Party, and it was presented to the state legislature. And that was back in 1975-76 area. We defeated it, and they needed 3 states for it to pass. It flew through all the states, so it got to Indiana. And we found out about it, and we defeated it in the state of Indiana. We were one of the states responsible for its defeat.
Yeah, the thing that's lurking in most of these equal protection and equal rights and special is it becomes not just about civil rights and protection, it becomes about special rights for certain groups, and that's dangerous. As soon as you
Well, you know, we got the Equal Rights Amendment, we defeated it, but it don't matter. They enforced it anyway. You know, that's why we have women in the military and women in the battlefields. They just ignored the fact that we defeated it and went over our heads.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just
they're trying
the way it is. They don't care what we do.
Well,
I've been battling the IDOR. Personally, and I've been battling for almost 3 years. I mean, I got a stack of letters we've written back and forth. And they keep sending me unsigned letters. They're not signed. I file freedom of information. I ask questions and demand answers, and they just ignore me. They just send me another letter demanding money. I keep telling me, send me the documents. Show me the proof that I owe this money. I don't owe this money. I don't owe you. And they just, they actually seized my bank account one day, and I filed a lawsuit against them and criminal charges against them with the Postal Service, and within a week, my money was back in my account. They put it back.
Well, you have to just, that's great. So it takes that. If you take action, you can have victories. Don't forget to go look any of these public officers. I don't care whether it's a code enforcement guy, a cop, a trooper, a sheriff, a judge, a district attorney. They all, in almost, I know 15 states for sure, you have to look it up yourself, see if your state's one of them. But New York is, and so is Texas, and a whole bunch of others. It's not coming off the top of my head on my list here, but at least 15 states have requirement for every public officer to carry to have a oath and a bond. The oath is what they're kind of swearing in, so to speak, where they
hold the constitution.
Indiana, I think,
Indiana definitely is, unless they change the law. Because I got pulled over in the 90s, and like I said, I've been involved all my life. And I didn't even go do this stuff, you know. As soon as friends of mine found out I'd been pulled over, they were down at the courthouse demanding freedom of information for the judge's oath that I was set to go before sheriffs, the guy who pulled me over and everything. They held me for almost 24 hours, I think it was, in the holding cell. They wouldn't even put me in with all the prisoners. The guys had come in, and the sheriff, different deputies had come in and say, what's this guy still doing here? He's been here all day. What's with this? Oh, he's got constitutional rights. And they'd sit there and chuckle and laugh and things, you know. And my dad couldn't get to me. Nobody could get to me, you know. And finally, my son called a friend of mine that's been involved, all of his life, too. And, next thing you know, one of the sheriffs come in and say, hey, you're supposed to go make this phone call. And I knew immediately who it was, And he just asked me what was going on. I told him the situation, and it wasn't 2 hours till I was out. They released
the phone call.
I wouldn't give him a birth date, and I wouldn't give him a Social Security number. And they even admitted and told me, they come to the cell finally, look, we need a birth date for you, a Social Security number. We can't charge you, and we can't get you out of the holding cell into the jail until you give us a birth date or a Social Security number. We have to have one or the other or both to charge
you. That information is essential to them to fill out the performance, the bid bond, and the performance and payment bond. They've got to have your Social Security number, and what's called bond is called a CUSIP number. CUSIP, CUSIP. And it stands for Committee on Uniform Securities Identification Process. And that's your Social Security number.
I laughed at him and told him, I said, I already know that. That's why you can't have it.
Right, exactly. They want to make money on. They were looking for your bonding information that they could fill into the bond to make a whole buttload of money on your incarceration.
I didn't really know that at the time, but I knew that they had to have those numbers or one of them. To charge me.
Now, listen to what the word says.
And I have used the Social Security number since the early 70s. I burnt my Social Security number. I had it about 6 years. and realized what it was, and I took an I actually had a Social Security burning party. I invited all kinds of people over, and I had a bonfire, and in front of all these people, I went out and held my Social Security up and said, look, I am officially burning up my Social Security number. I'm no longer going to be using it. And I burned
it. Good for you. We need more people to do that. I mean,
you know,
we got to have no compliance, no enforcement. I respect that. Yeah, and until you give them those numbers, they can't bond the case and make. Now, notice the word they used was charge. They're charging you. They didn't accuse you. If you had done a crime, they would have had to use the word accuse. Notice how they use the word charge. They're charging you money. That's the charge is to the bond. Yeah, and they just because people don't know it. And it's not up to us to know it. We didn't make any agreements to give away our freedom and then have to go educate ourselves 50 hours a week just trying to stay up with all the witches' court and the idiot garbage that comes out of the bar, the legislators, which is where the law comes that the courts enforce. So, and they're all members of the same club. Everywhere I turned, everybody was a member of the bar. The attorneys on the legislature passing the laws, the judges who are adjudicating, and the prosecutors who are prosecuting. And they all have unified fiduciary interest in creating as many of these statutes as possible so they can drag as many of us into their court as possible and then not accuse us of doing anything, because most of it's not crime. You didn't commit any crime. Most people aren't committing any crime, so they can't accuse you. They must charge you, as in, I'm charging you $5,000 for this. I'm charging you $50,000 for this. That's why it's always said charge, and we've become accustomed, even myself, became used to using the word so many times. You think a charge is something that a lawful accusation that somebody can levy for a criminal act. It's not. If the word accused is not, it's like using the word law enforcement instead of peace officers. They're so desperate to change and warp and twist the language. That's the Masons. They're always big on name changes and language manipulation.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Most of your judges are Masons, almost every one of them.
Exactly. And if they can come up with change words and come up with new words like constructive possession, where you can be walking in a room that just has guns over on the other side of the room or on the other side of the building, and they can charge you with possession because you're in proximity. Possession is not proximity, so they had to come up to charge people with things that were non-existent. In other words, like Tom LaPavara was sitting in a hotel room, and there was somebody else's pistol was in another part of the hotel room, and they charged him just for being there, and it wasn't even his hotel room. So, I mean, how are you going to know if you have a felony?
All across America, this stuff's going on.
Yep, coast to coast, north to south, east to west. I've watched it happen. This is what I do, and it's ungodly. And I'm trying to. It's frustrating to me that people don't. You know, we need more help in this from the media.
But we need more help from the people.
Absolutely, Well, but
the people are lazy and slothful and they're indolent. And they just don't care.
Listen, without the people, I know. Without the people, without the media, we can't get the word out to the people. That's why I'm so big on emphasizing Tom's case, Pete Santilli, Gary Hunt. Reporters being locked up is really scary, extra scary. Thanks for the call, my friend. Check in with us later this week one more time. And we'll be right back after this break. Public Broadcasting Network. This is Air Freedom Springer. Administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's A-P-P-S-A-P-A-R-T.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm on to something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, attempting to resurrect the Republic. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer. Thanks for joining us. We're going to have Chris with us in a few minutes, but we have a caller from Texas. Was it Ken in Texas? Hello, Ken.
Great. Yeah, there you are. Hey, so I guess do a little reminiscing tonight. I watched Joe McCarthy live in 1954. And I got to my unit in Germany, 25 June 63, dropped my duffel bag and are rolling up the flags for Kennedy's parade in Hanau, Germany. I missed it by one day, saw it on YouTube, and the next day he went to Berlin. And then a friend of mine, back about 74 or 5, he said, come over to the house. I want you to hear a tape of Sherman Skolnick out of Chicago. Hey, did you ever hear him?
No, but I did hear the Kennedy speech, that one where he said, I am a Berliner.
Yeah, that was the next day. We listened to Sherman Skolnick from Chicago, and I got some of his material, started reading it. Because on the radio, he starts talking about Kennedy and Rockefeller, and I said, what is this guy talking about? He turned me from the left to the right. So I started doing that. Yep. And then not too far from what was that, they had a John Birch Society. They had a library. I started buying some books, started reading, just shotgun reading. Just get this one, this one, this one. I started that way. And then I started reading on my own at that point. And then I was down in Florida when we got Florida withdrawal. They called for the Constitution Convention back in 88. And then my wife and I got to Texas, and we get on a radio, and we start talking AM, FM, shortwave, any station, any time. This was 90, but it was 192. All once Fox comes along, and then Kennedy comes along, and then Alex Jones comes along, and then you guys come along. Things have changed.
Boy, they sure have.
To the better.
Well, thank you.
We had no idea that just happened. We started talking, and all at once the House went Republican. You know, things can change. And sometimes you say, what am I going to do? Yeah, you can do something, and something might happen too, you know.
We all have to attempt to do something, and the risk to what I suggest is very minimal. Passing out flyers is really simple, and if it can be the jury nullification flyer, you know, what a great way to, and once again, just for our new listeners, go to courtroomwatch.com. That's courtroomwatch.com. They blocked us once. They blocked us twice. We're stopped thrice. And the third time we posted it up there, and it's there. It says jury nullification. Copy this before they block it again. And so it's in a PDF file that you can easily download and print out. And I urge everybody out there to print out as many of those as you possibly can and pass them out everywhere. Two of the best places are the town courthouse on traffic court night. Because there's in some of these towns, there's sometimes over 100 people there just for dumb little stupid things. And if you start educating them and networking, you can build, you know, some people into the freedom movement there, so to speak, the whatever you want to call it, the awakening, the return to freedom. And you also want to go down, even more importantly, is call the county courthouse or the state Supreme Courthouse. They're usually unified now in almost every state. The county courthouses are nothing more than an extension of the state court. But that's where everything operates. Go to your busiest courthouse, you know, the ones where they have the trials, felony trials, and call ahead of time and ask the court clerk, when is jury selection day? And on jury selection day, go down in the morning about 20 minutes, half hour before the doors open, and pass out the jury nullification flyers to everybody standing in line. I would suggest getting there just about walk up to the courthouse just about 5 minutes. You don't attract too much attention. Kind of go up there, I hate to say it, the last minute, so to speak, but it might help in this situation. I know when I went up, the less you're lingering around there, but just get in line. Get in the front of the line, or just if the line's already formed up, just walk down it and hand out the flyers to everybody in line calmly and quickly, and just say, here's some general information on jury duty. And just pass it out. And I found that everybody except, I think, one person who happened to work for the courthouse, everybody took it except one woman. And so everybody else read it, and they had some of people had questions about it, and was able to educate quite a few people there out in line. So there's something you can do there, people, that really does. And you heard John Lamb earlier tonight. Anybody who was listening to the first hour has heard that from the courthouse and the comments from the Judge Brown and Judge Navarro, so the Oregon trials and the Nevada trials, they are the judge and the system. They're deathly afraid of jury nullification because it puts an end to the government scam and to the scam and the bonding and the money being made and all the backroom deals and all the unlawful acts. It puts an end to all that. The people have the final say.
But the people are starting to catch on.
If they don't submit to the fear, that's right. And I hope the more people we can talk with and educate, that's the single most important thing I think people can do, is get that jury nullification flyer into the hands of as many people in your community as possible. Go down to the local.
Remember, everybody don't know everything about everything. And Jim Tucker from the American Free Press says, you can't learn enough. And that's true.
That's right.
Yep. Something else I wanted to say. I kind of Anyway, I just want to say that tonight and talk to you.
Well, call us back tomorrow if you remember. you know, we'll be here all week. So thanks for calling
okay,
in.
Okay.
I appreciate
hey, nice
good
hearing
from
you guys.
Good, thank you. Same to you. Appreciate hearing from you down there in Texas. Beautiful. With that, let's say hello to Chris in Las Vegas. Chris, how are you tonight?
Oh, very good, Eric, and thank you very much. Certainly enjoyed some of the calls from Texas and other places. The fellow with the ancient Illinois constitutions was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What do you think about all these bonded cases?
Oh, absolutely.
About all these bonded cases, Chris? They're not making much money on our freedom, are they? Or lack or slavery?
They're getting rich off the backs of the serfs that don't know any better, that can't fight for themselves. In fact, quite intriguing, I was down there this morning, or this afternoon, I should say. And of course, they didn't have any actual court today because of a jury sickness. I talked to John Lamb and quite a few other people down there, Captain Morgan and a few others. Interesting and pleasant people all out there trying to fight against this corruption and the appalling sense of abuse of discretion, oppression of the color law, witness tampering, preventing and, in fact, obstructing justice from the bench is judicial terrorism. That's exactly what we're talking about with Gloria Navarro. And, in fact, if you look, if you have an interest in doing this sort of stuff, 28 U.S.C. Section 455, disqualification of justice or magistrate, current through Public Law 114-38 and the Judicial Improvements Act of 2002, says includes a complaint process to review complaints of judges initially by the chief judge. Although I think that the judges' complaints should be going to the House and Senate judiciaries, judicial commissions on professional ethics, and probably Trey Gowdy and Jacob Chazovitz and some of the others that actually have some grasp of the corruption in the judiciary. In fact, most of the West Coast of the United States has very corrupt. They all are noted to have open pockets, willfully seeking bribes from rich attorneys and their clients to buy the best justice money can buy, and that is not justice at all. In fact, Gloria Navarro is running an inquisition in her court. It's essentially a star chamber. It's not justice at all. It is ruled by judicial tyranny, and she is acting as a judicial dictator, a tyrant from the bench. She is oppressing defense witnesses while allowing the broadest measure. Anything that the government wanted to bring was just fine with her, in spite of objections by the defense counsel, which there were many. It should be grounds for a mistrial on that bias alone of the judge. She is so biased, there is no question about it, and you're supposed to avoid the appearance of bias. Hell, she's blatant about it.
She's an expert in, I mean, it's more than bias. That's putting it mildly. I mean, this is absolute, completely cheating and lying and scaring people and threatening, creating terroristic threats on the people. Intimidation, manipulation, which is all tampering of both not only the witnesses but the jury. She's denying full knowledge and access to the jury of, I mean, look at the U.S. versus Doherty. It says jury nullification is great. I mean, their own witch's court has ruled in the past that jury nullification is valid, it's legitimate. My first instinct when you said shoot a little, you know, I don't want to use the word shoot, but, you know, go a little higher up in the food chain to put the heat on for the judge. My first instinct was, maybe that's a good idea. Maybe we should go a little higher to the oversight committee and blah. Guess what? The only thing that happens in those oversight committees is they build a case on you and me. The best thing to do is make it clear on the individual judge and the vicar general in that diocese that we are watching them personally. And then that makes them a little more behave, yeah.
These are supposed to be at least masquerading as Article III justices enjoying life-tenured appointments with the consent of the House and the Senate, that they should have compensations not diminished during good behavior. But that's good behavior. This is not good behavior. This is bad behavior. This is absolute abuse of discretion. That's R60B. R60B entails six different categories of abuse. Do not use five. 5 is broadly general, and when you make a complaint against a judge on judicial activism or oppression or abuse of discretion, you must be specific in how that judge abused her discretion and state it with particularity to have your complaint have any gravitas.
Okay, now that I agree with. You should absolutely always, and Chris is exactly right, file the paper, file the complaint. This is not just activism, but it's not just paperwork filing either. It's both. That's what, so I'm fully in support of what you just said. I just don't, I don't want to leave the executioner out of the picture, so to speak. And it's the actual judge herself in this case that's lowering herself enough deep into the depths of witch's court tyranny to do these things they're doing. You know, we've been talking about it all week and for weeks now. It's just ungodly what she's doing. Won't let people in the courtroom cry because their husband is on trial. You can't hold
That's
your
insane.
Bible up higher than your waist. It's just insane what's going on. Throw your pocket constitution in the garbage. It's a little piece of paper. What's the problem? They're doing it
Eric,
to be thugs and intimidators. Yep.
Crying is an emotion. It is not something that people in the court gin up and act. They're not a bunch of actors like those poor BLM agents that cry that they're scared because those other people have guns too and they might use them on us. Well, had they taken a look in the mirror for Christ's sake? I mean, there's a preposterosity of this insane position is not sustainable or tolerable in a free society. Are we living in a slave trade union? Are we in the global slave planet? It certainly appears so. If you can't take your constitution in, you can't show your emotions, and though your heart is breaking because of the way your loved one is being abused by these terrorists masked as judges.
Yep. So Chris is right, people. File the complaint. I mean, always, if you have a run-in with a police officer who did something abusive, you want to file the complaint, because if the pile builds up high enough, if he gets 3, 4, 5, 6 complaints, they're going to start, it's going to be a bunch of things. He's going to get removed from road duty. He'll be put on some desk job so he's not having interaction with the public, or he'll be sanctioned or he'll be fired. So
here's a little more.
Also, it'll blemish his record enough and that, you know, they're not going to be able to get a job in a higher agency like the state police or the FBI or the CIA or whoever, as they work their way up the chain, so to speak, but unfortunately that's a misnomer anyway, because we know that the sheriff is the chief peace officer in a county or subdivision, and that's the highest authority because he's elected. These three-letter agency guys are not elected, and they have no jurisdiction over us unless they can get our consent and our signature, and that's why the signature and that Social Security number is so important, so they can put a bond on the case. They remove your name from it, and it just becomes your number. And that way they can sell it as a number instead of you as, I mean, it's still you, but they're converting our identities into numbers and fiduciary instruments that they're selling in the mutual fund investment market worldwide.
That's particularly like slave trading. That is slave trading, what that is.
It's very, a great analogy. It is modern. Legalize, and I don't want to use the word legalize because they don't have any authority to legalize this stuff. I mean, it's just they don't have any standing. These laws are so unjust and so wrong. It is the modern application of slavery. That is not an exaggeration. That's absolutely accurate.
Here's a little bit more ammunition for the troops out there that are fighting against this judicial oppression. First and foremost, there are two citations you'll want to know. 28 U.S.C. 3771, that has to do with judicial complaints under the Crime Victims' Rights Act, and it has a sister under 18 U.S.C. 3771, which is the rest of the rest of the agencies that supposedly work under the Department of Justice. Now, there are two locations you can register those complaints. One is with the Inspector General of the Department of Justice. The other is with what's called the Ombudsman of the Department of Justice. I suggest that you would also want to send copies of those same complaints to those House and Senate judiciary heads of those judiciary committees and professional ethics committees and have them take a look so they can have some oversight at the Department of Justice and see, are they actually doing anything or are they hiding it between the sheets or underneath the carpets or in the trash can so the people won't know what type of corruption is going on throughout these courts around the nation. There is a patchwork. There is a conundrum of corruption that is pervading the justice system in this country. It's an injustice system, not a justice system. And the other thing that I wanted to touch on that you just covered is... I forgot it. You go ahead, Eric. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, Chris. Yeah, it is an unjust system there, and they're capitalizing on us as human flesh. Chris hit it right on the head. You know, it's extreme injustice. I mean, we don't even have anything close to a lawful court. I mean, we really are living. I mean, this is how bad it gets in any communist nation. It's a dictatorial pyramid structure completely upside down from reality, with sheriffs thinking they have to obey unlawful orders from the courts and the feds thinking they have jurisdiction where they have none. And of course,
I have a friend.
The people. Go ahead.
I have a friend, Eric, in New York that she's tried to prevail on me to get you to do a call out for, and I couldn't find my number right away for you to call, but I remember the guy's name. It's Tony Mora in New York City is where she lives. And she's got people beating on her floors upstairs to try to drive her away, doing acoustic torture. It's just, and she's an older woman, and she's a peaceful woman. She's done lots of public service work, helping prisoners and so on and so forth throughout her life. And she's in her 60s now, for Christ's sake, and she doesn't need this kind of torture and abuse, but nobody that runs the apartment manager, or that's who that is, Tony Mora, or anybody else that has the group will do anything about it. I'll try to have phone numbers for you tomorrow night. I just couldn't find them. I have them here somewhere, and all the other things. I did put in my complaint on Friday. Oh, the other thing I want to tell you, the caller earlier spoke about it. I tried to call probably 15 to 20 times last night to the 800. They were diverting and rerouting my calls, and it was going to that recorder system. In fact, it says leave a message if you want to after the thing on an 800 number. Call is not busy. And that made no sense at all. But so they're obstructing the calls to your show and to Republic Broadcasting and other stations too, I'm sure. The frequency, True Frequency, Micro Effect, GCN calls, all the Freedom and Liberty calls are being rerouted to oppress freedom of speech. And this violates City of Houston, Texas versus Brown. It's just absolutely insane that these people don't want us to have freedom of speech to be able to put the sunshine of sterilizing light on the corruption that is pervading this so-called justice system, law enforcement, even the schools and stuff. They are just really trying to indoctrinate us to a full communist, Soviet, Bolshevik-type lifestyle here in America.
Well, you put that really well. It's exactly right. That's exactly what it is. And making a whole bunch of money along the way doing it, on the way to totalitarian control. And you were exactly right, Chris.
Well, I don't like being right, but, you know, if you can't see what's in front of your face, then you're not looking very clear, or you need to listen to somebody that's paying attention.
So that was 28-3771, title 28.
That's the judiciary.
Yep.
And then 1837 is the other one.
Yeah, definitely file complaints and file. I mean, it definitely helps because it establishes it for the record, on the record, that you've been damaged or injured or in some way violated that can show some kind of substance. You don't have to go far into the court cases these days to see substantive violations against people.
Something else I've learned along the way is with attorneys and judges, too, if they get more than two complaints, probably in a year, maybe there's a time bar on it, it appears that they become self-insured or uninsurable, and therefore they have to be dropped from the county's rolls of insurance because their liability insurance becomes too expensive for the county to sustain. And so when you file a bar complaint for the complaints against those employees of the county with their a risk management agent, their actuarial or overrider, if you will, whoever covers their overriding insurance, then you might actually get some traction in getting some of these bad people that are working in positions of authority and giving them the ability to abuse their discretion and to basically to rape, rob, pillage the public under the guise of being protectors when they're really abusers.
Yep, and you do also want to file a complaint with the insurance company. If they do have insurance or a bond, file a complaint with the surety. And I have heard that enough complaints with the insurance agent that carries that bond, they'll dump them, and then the public officer won't be able to get a job anywhere. So it definitely pays to file the complaint, you know, just go through the motions and file it, make sure it's in writing, get a follow-up call from one of the investigating officers, or, I mean, a lot of times they want to have their own people, you know, keep it in-house, so to speak, but always go to the highest entity that you can to file the paperwork, but then don't let the executioner off the hook. Let them know that ultimately they're responsible. Like this Judge Navarro, you know, it's not the fault of the Judicial Oversight Committee that she's doing this. It's her. We have to not lose track of the reality here. The executioner is the first one that's actually doing the evil deed. And I hear other radio talk show hosts saying, well, it's not the TSA's agent, really. It's the guys who are given the orders in the Congress who pass these laws.
Yeah.
Not at all. It's a bunch of baloney. We don't have to, there's no lawful excuse or reason or justification for anybody at the executioner level to be carrying out these unlawful and unconstitutional and immoral orders that are coming out of the Congress and all the state legislatures and counties as well. Just because a bunch of criminals say, go do this atrocity, go steal this private property, go hurt that person, go take their children, go steal his car, go grab his house, just because they get laws that make all the unlawful and immoral things, quote-unquote, legal, it doesn't give it standing. So we have to get back to no compliance. No. Yep, go ahead.
You understand the internal affairs, or if you go to complain to the judiciary system about a judge or the bar about an attorney, you're really asking them to self-police. Self-police is a preposterous, it's an unfounded,
that's right.
It's unbelievable. It makes no sense at all because they're not going to hold themselves to accountability. They're going to protect themselves. And what you're really doing is giving them the ammunition to know how dangerous their exposure is. And it's really just a pre-investigative or inquisitorial or perhaps a confessory where they confess their sins.
Yes, and that is why we as courtroom observers and court watchers have to do the investigations, do the observations, do the public activism, do the public pressure through the phone calls and the emails to the court and the vicars, and pass out the jury nullification flyers to the jurors out in the morning. So everybody is educated and knows what their duty and their responsibility is to protect the freedom of we the people. So on that note, we're going to have to check out for the night. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Gary. Thank you to all the callers. Thank you, John Lamb, and everybody else. Appreciate you listeners being there. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer on the RBN Network.
Good night, Eric.
God save the Republic.
Thank you, guys. See you guys later. Appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.